In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we are gathered here to make Our Lady company during this first Saturday devotion. Let's at first renew our intention to be with Our Lady in her company and to make reparation. So it's fitting to remember the reason we are here and, of course, the very reason of Our Lady's request for the five first Saturdays of the month. Our Lady asked for this important practice, devotional, but very, very important, for four reasons. Let's refresh these four reasons. Better than reasons, we should say four conditions to be met in order to answer Our Lady's request. Going to confession, receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion on this day, saying five decades of the Rosary, meditating for 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary. And all this is to be offered in reparation for the sins of blasphemy and ingratitude committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So now I would like to remind you of the history behind this important request. We already spoke several times about Our Lady's request during her July apparition. It's opportune now to go back to this important request and to see what Our Lady properly said in order to now comply with wholeheartedly with this beautiful devotion. It was during the third apparition on July 13, 1917, when Our Lady came and revealed that she would come to ask for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart and for the communion of reparation of the five first Saturdays. In fact, Our Lady came later. The message was given during the year 1917. She came, consequently, to ask for this devotion, first for the consecration of Russia in 1925, and then she asked, she came in 1925 to ask for the five first Saturdays devotion, and then she came later on, 1929, to ask through Sister Lucia for the consecration of Russia, to ask the Pope of that time, who was Pius XI. So we are in 1925, and Sister Lucia is in the house of the Dorothean sisters in Pontevedra, Portugal. It was December 10th, 1925, where the Blessed Mother appeared to Sister Lucia alongside a boy, beautiful boy, who stood over a luminous cloud. Our Lady rested one hand on the boy's shoulder, while she held on the other hand a heart pierced with thorns around it. Sister Lucia heard the boy saying, "Have pity on the heart of your most holy mother, which is covered with thorns, with which ingrate men pierce it at every moment, with no one to make an act of reparation to pull them out." Of course, this boy is Jesus, the child Jesus. And it is beautiful to see how Jesus cares for the mother's sorrows. We might say, but why Jesus is now concerned for these saints piercing his mother's heart more than be concerned of saints piercing his heart during his passion and death. The Fatima message is all about this concern, in a sense, of Jesus for the sorrow of his mother. So it is the child Jesus who asks, actually, Sister Lucia for making reparation for all these offenses, for these thorns, which are now piercing Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. You see, the love of Jesus for his mother. There is a beautiful practice, Marian practice, to be Jesus for Mary and to be Mary for Jesus. To love Jesus with Our Lady's heart and to love Our Lady with Jesus' heart. Mother and son are truly one. And now, especially in this moment of reparation, redemption and reparation, we see this joint work of redemption and co-redemption. So after this request, actually, of the boy, there is Our Lady speaking to Sister Lucia. Our Lady expressed her request in the following words. See, my daughter, my heart surrounded with thorns, with which ingrates pierce me at every moment with blasphemies and ingratitude. You, at least, make sure to console me and announce that all those who for 5 months, on the first Saturdays, go to confession, receive communion, say 5 decades of the rosary and keep me company for 15 minutes meditating on the mysteries of the rosary with the purpose of making reparation to me, I promise to assist them at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for the salvation of their souls. Now we see the very essence and the very promise attached to this beautiful devotion. To make reparation, and as a reward we have from Our Lady this beautiful promise, to be assisted at the hour of our death with all graces necessary to die in the state of grace and not to lose our soul for ever. This is the greatest promise. This is the most important thing, to be sure to save our soul eternally. But we have this promise if we are now ourselves concerned as Jesus for Our Lady's sorrows and all thorns and offenses piercing her Immaculate Heart. A few days afterward, Sister Lucia detailed this vision in a letter addressed to Monsignor Manuel Pereira Lopez, her confessor, when she resided in the Asylum of Vila in the city of Oporto in Portugal. There is also another question. Why did Our Lady ask for 5 Saturdays and not, for example, 9, as Jesus did to St. Mary Magdalene at St. Mary Magdalene Alacoque? There is a reason for the 5 Saturdays. And in fact, the confessor of Sister Lucia questioned her about the reason for the 5 Saturdays. Asking why not 7 or even 9. She answered him in a letter dated June 12, 1930. In it, she related about a vision she had of Our Lord while staying in the convent chapel, part of the night of the 29th to the 30th of the month of May, 1930. The reasons our Lord gave were these followings. The five first Saturdays correspond to the five kinds of offenses and blasphemies committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Five blasphemies, that is, blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception, blasphemies against her virginity, blasphemies against her divine maternity, at the same time the refusal to accept her as the mother of all men. Then instilling indifference, scorn, and even hatred towards this Immaculate Mother in the hearts of children. And the fifth, direct insults against her sacred images. So when we do this devotion, in complying with these consecutive five first Saturdays, let's always keep in mind, we may each Saturday pick up one of these offenses and blasphemies to be repaired, in order to be in Our Lady's company and repairing intentionally these offenses that are piercing her heart. Of all these five, I think one is very important to be highlighted, because it is quite something just striking us for the fact that people can instill scorn and hatred in the hearts of children by neglecting, by insulting better religious sacred images. So these insults against her sacred images, in fact, can also instill indifference later on in the hearts, in the lives of children. This is very important to be highlighted. It is a kind of iconoclasty. Maybe you have heard of this very ancient error which arose in the East during the Byzantine Empire. And it was the emperor himself who promoted a war against the church, against specifically sacred images, ordering to destroy all sacred images. We don't know precisely the reason for this, but it looks like the reason was more political and personal. But the fathers of the church, some of very prominent fathers of the church, responded to this persecution and war against sacred images. And the most beautiful argument to say that we have to venerate sacred images was that the incarnation itself, the very central truth of our faith, is an image. God himself took this human image. In the very etymological sense, he took this icon of man, because God became man. He took on our nature. So each religious image or icon is in fact reflecting, presenting to people the mystery of the incarnation, when God became man and took the form of a man. So God can be painted, in a sense, represented in a religious image, because Jesus is true God and true man. And beside Jesus, there is immediately Our Lady and her images. But why these direct insults against her sacred images, which can instill, of course, indifference in the hearts, especially of the children? When we want to, there is this iconoclasty, something very common, even now, in a sense. When we say, we don't need any image, we need just the mystery, we need to face the mystery. The very error hidden in this stand is that we want to get rid of this bodily mystery, so to speak, of Christianity, the mystery of the Incarnation, because lastly, the Incarnation of God is the possibility for a man to change his life and to welcome God in himself. If we get rid of religious icons, we lose this contact with the divinity to the point of opening our lives to the Incarnation of God within ourselves. And the most hated image, which is reminding us of this important Christian task, is Our Lady's image, because she is, par excellence, the temple of God, the house where God came to abide in. So when we get rid, and this is very diabolic, when we get rid of Our Lady's images, we in fact are rejecting the possibility that God is man, that God is incarnate, that God can come to live in our lives, to be within ourselves. We don't want a God as proximate as Jesus. We are people of the society nowadays, are religious in a sense that they believe in something, something religious, but they are not keen on opening their lives to God's grace, to welcome God. And in the words of the Eastern Fathers, this is a divinization of the soul. When we welcome the mystery of the Incarnation, we are truly made God, because we become divinized by grace. And this is a way to respond to the very first temptation of the devil. You will become like God. No. That was a temptation. That is a curse. There is only one way to become like God, to become God yourself, by welcoming the mystery of the Incarnation within yourselves by grace and becoming a Christian. And the very archetype form of this Incarnation is Our Lady, the first who welcomed the mystery of God in her life, insulting religious images and insulting Marian images, is to attack at the very core the mystery of God's Incarnation and the possibility to be made anew by grace. You see, if we prevent children from seeing, venerating religious images, they grow up without any sense of this religiosity, without any understanding of this possibility to meet God and to be one with Him. So we have to repair this sin against Our Lady, which is, in my opinion, a kind of threat to today's church, a new iconoclasty going on. We can repair this sin, by having religious and Marian images in our houses. It's beautiful also to have a little corner altar where you pray, where your family gather to pray in silence and as a family. It is a wonderful experience to lead, especially the children, to this beautiful devotion by looking at beautiful religious and Marian images, to always remember that God has become man for our salvations, and we can become God in Him through grace, by grace, through Our Lady's intercession. So let's today offer this prayer in reparation with this intention. And as we go go on in this devotion in the next Saturdays, we can always pick up one of these intentions for repairing all offenses and blasphemies against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.